Thank you, Julie and Judy. Hear the word of God from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And it may be helpful, it will be helpful to have your Bibles open. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our basement is filled with boxes of my parents' things, mainly their things. And even though they downsized quite a bit before moving into assisted living some years ago, there's still a lot of stuff, good stuff. Boxes and boxes of books and photo albums and textiles and dishes and kerosene lamps and journals from the 1940s and 50s. There's a lot of stuff to go through, and our goal is to get it down to a manageable amount and eventually distribute it out to the rest of our family, but they don't have a lot of room either. And so we have all this stuff. And it's a challenge to go through these things that have some deep personal history, but no real practical, purposeful place in our home, and what to do with it. And I know some of you have dealt with this or are dealing with it now, and I know I wrote about this a few months ago in the newsletter. But what do you do with this? Well, in the midst of going through boxes the other evening, I found this clear plastic bag in one of the boxes, labeled in my mom's handwriting, birthday cards. So I sat down on the carpet in the basement and began reading through them. There are about 30 birthday, anniversary, and Valentine's Day cards in this bag exchanged between my mom and dad over all their years of marriage, 59 years of marriage. None of the cards has a lot written on them, just a few words and an occasional sentence or two. But what is written is so tender. And because these were written privately between them, I'm not going to read any of these to you other than to say that it's a written witness of deep and abiding tender love put into words through all those many years. Words scrolling back through the years. And I'm so glad my mom decided to hang on to these. And even though they're just in a plastic bag, she hung on to them because they mean a lot. Each word was carefully written, all out of love. We are people of words. Words are one of the primary ways that we communicate with each other, whether through our mouths or with pens and keyboards, whether through texts or emails or Facebook. Sometimes the words we use are tender and sweet. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes our words help to bring healing and hope and foster forgiveness. Sometimes they inflict deep pain. And they deepen wounds. The words we use and the words we absorb, these words really matter. In an excellent book titled Caring for Words in a Culture of Lies by Marilyn Chandler McIntyre, she writes that God has blessed us with the gift of words. as our Creator, God gifted us with the ability to use and to know words in order to express and to understand, to share and absorb life and truth. In creating us, God has placed high value on words. He spoke creation into being. God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When Moses encountered God at the burning bush and asked for a name, God used a verb. "I am who I am." And in Jesus, God's one and only Son, he is described at the beginning of the Gospel of John as what? As the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Therefore, McIntyre writes in this book, "Knowing and using words well, being intentional with our words, and paying especially close attention to the words God has given to us in his Word. This is part of our sacred calling. It's not an optional thing. It's part of how we come to know and honor God, how we live into who he has created us to be and who he is calling us to be through his Word. Allowing the truth of his Word to get into the bloodstream of our lives and to be put into practice in how we live, honoring him. So if we're not paying close attention to his Word, if we're not intentionally taking time to dwell in his Word and to mull it over and to talk about it and to pray through it, then what are we doing? How are we living faithfully to him if we are not investing in his Word? I've heard it said from many different sources that we are increasingly becoming a biblically illiterate culture, a culture that doesn't know and therefore doesn't value God's Word. One example is Dr. Boaz Johnson from North Park University, who was here last year. He shared with Sid and with me that as a professor of biblical studies at a Christian university, the number of students who arrive in his classroom every year with almost zero knowledge of Scripture, that number seems to keep rising. And many of these students come out of churched homes. They've gone to Bible camp. They've gone through confirmation. They've been in Sunday school. They've been in youth group, but yet they arrive at intro to biblical studies with almost zero biblical content. And Dr. Johnson wonders, what's been going on in those first 18 years or so at home? And what's been going on in the church? What's being taught that nothing is sticking? And it's not just our young people. Of course not. It's our whole culture. As we begin this new year of 2014, now 5 days into it, among the other things that I hope and pray will be sharply in focus for every one of us, I hope and pray that all of us, young kids, teenagers, young adults, adults, senior adults, all of us together, I hope and pray that we will desire to know God and his Word and to pursue this. To know God and his Word and to pursue this. To know his Word and to dwell in it. To set aside time just to soak in his Word. And to pray through it and talk through it and to know it. I hope and pray that we will be comforted by his Word. And challenged by his Word. That we will be powerfully encouraged and confronted, and that we will be changed. And most of all, my hope and my prayer for all of us, myself included, is that we will find in fresh ways how deeply God loves us, specifically us, not just in general, but in specific. It's kind of like what I came across in these cards between my parents, where I found a written witness of deep and abiding tender love put into words that were carefully chosen. What was pre-printed on these cards by Hallmark or whomever, that was in general. But was handwritten, was very specific. Carefully chosen words to the other. May we find this in God's Word. Because this is what God's Word is for us. A written witness of deep and abiding tender love put into words that were carefully chosen for us to know. Some people have called the Bible God's love letter to the world. A long, detailed, complex, sprawling account of how deeply He loves us and how far He goes to save us from ourselves and to save us from sin. Enough to die for us, to send His one and only Son to die on a cross for us, that we would know Him and to know His love for us. For the world at large, yes, but also for you and for me specifically. On New Year's Day, I switched my sermon text. I was going to preach from something else, but I felt compelled to switch it to the reading that I read from Philippians. Philippians is one of the most loving, light-reading letters in the New Testament. If you haven't read it for a while, read it. It is a strong encouragement with very carefully chosen words to live in this direction, toward loving God who loves us, living toward Jesus, pressing on, as Paul put it in chapter 3, pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Philippians is a written witness of deep and abiding tender love with very carefully chosen words. But in the text I read, it was especially the words Paul wrote in verse 8 that caught my attention, as well as the song by Fernando Ortega built on verse 8. In verse 8, Paul writes, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." In the King James Version, it reads, "Think on these things." Think on these 8 things. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Anchor yourself there. Think on these things. In a life that can be so filled with setbacks and hard things and things we didn't see coming, in a life where there is so much that clamors for our attention, glittering images in every direction, where there are so many things that can discourage us and embitter us and generate doubt and fear, Paul says, think on these things. The very things we find throughout God's Word. Some of you know that over the past 4 or 5 years on Epiphany Sunday, we've given out words during communion where people come forward to receive the bread and the cup. And then we've given a word, a star-shaped piece of paper with one word out of Scripture on it. And the point has been to receive this single word from Scripture and to hold it in mind and heart through the year, asking God to use what that word means in whatever way. Last year, my word was encouragement. The year before, it was goodness. The year before, it was peace. And each year, those words fit so amazingly in what God was doing, both in blessing and in challenge. I'd love to hear your words, maybe even on one of these upcoming Sundays for some of you to come forward and reflect with the rest of us how God used that word. Well, this year I'm going to do something different. Today I have a word, a phrase for all of us together. And I've printed it up. There's a stack of them at the Welcome Center. I hope you take one as you leave. It's Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. But Paul doesn't leave it just in the thinking realm. He goes on to say at the end of verse 9, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. Think on these things. And what I hope will happen is that in thinking on these things, praying about them, looking for them, discussing them, wrestling with them, and then putting them into practice. These things that are true and right and noble and so on, that this will be like opening a mine together, that we go in and explore deeper and deeper and find treasures we didn't know were there, and find more and more that draws us toward what is true and noble and right and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. Finding it in our lives here, in our lives at home, in our life at work, in our life on the road, in good days and in hard days, in days of encouragement and days of discouragement. Living in ways that are increasingly formed around the truth of God's Word. Think on these things. And think of the amazing gifts we're given, offered freely to us, all through Jesus Christ. Because it's in Him that all the promises of God come to such amazing fulfillment, all through Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we're going to receive this sacred meal, the Lord's Supper. And as we sharpen our attention on what this meal is and what God has offered to us, I'd like to read just a couple of God's promises to us. Brief words that reveal God's deep and abiding tender love put into very carefully chosen words. Things that are very much in line with what Paul writes about. Think on these things. I want to invite you simply to close your eyes and to be in a receiving mode as I read five brief promises. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those who love Him. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Then Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you. Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord our God, draw us deeper and deeper into your word. Help us to be attentive to how you speak these clear, tender words, intentionally, carefully chosen for us to take into our minds and into our hearts and to shape our lives. Hold us fast in your truth. Forgive us when we stray, and to continue molding us around the truth that you've given to us, all through the grace of Jesus Christ, which you've freely poured out upon us. We pray this in His name. Amen.